What really gets my dick hard is...
What?
Are you alive? Oh, are you alive?
Yeah!
How does it feel to be alive?
Welcome to Mel Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
And this is a bonus episode for you because today, May 10th, starts the worldwide tour Metallica is about to embark on.
I almost started laughing just looking at you do that intro through Skype.
Hey, man.
This looked so quaint and so professional.
I'm just trying to keep it quaint and professional here in Jackson, Mississippi, in my Holiday Inn room.
Quaint and professional. That's kind of the slogan of this show, isn't it?
We're very quaint and professional, yeah. I think.
We're not dainty, nope. But we are quaint.
We're not dainty orphans whatsoever. But
not yet.
I would say we're... Not yet. We're working on it.
Man, I've been on the forums kind of keeping up with, like, you know, they start a thread for every show. And
right.
Just reading all the excitement for all the people going to the Baltimore show tonight, it's like...
I know, man.
I was drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade last night.
I saw that.
And someone posted that they, like, last minute free ticket. And I swear to God, I was like, what would it look like if I bought this ticket and flew to Baltimore tomorrow by myself? Like, I was really, like, going over logistics. Like, what could I pull that? Like, what if I go wake my wife up and tell her? I'm glad
to head to the airport.
I'm really glad I did not do that. But that's how the excitement's palpable.
It is, man. It totally is. I mean, this is going to be a full world tour. I mean, they're doing the Hardwired album cycle. And tonight, I mean, they've done festivals and stuff leading up to this. And they've kind of categorized it in the Worldwired deal. But this is the first official show of the tour.
Yep. It does feel like more official. I know they did Copenhagen and Mexico City and all that stuff.
Right, right.
And it's been fun to kind of see what they're debuting and what they're kind of playing around with, which at the end of this quick little episode, Ethan and I are going to do our fantasy set list for the tour.
Yeah, what we would like to hear if we could write it for them.
But within reason, like, we know they're promoting a new record. It's not going to be like Deep Cut City.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not going to be like, I want to play Master Puppets front to back.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I want to hear Fixer finally.
Yeah.
But it has been cool to see. And so they did this, like, they did a live rehearsal last night from the Hardwired set. Did you see that? They did it on Facebook.
I saw that it was a Facebook Live thing, and I wanted to watch it so bad, but we had a show last night, and all that happened, like, during the show.
Yeah.
I couldn't even watch it.
Well,
unfortunately.
They did some pretty exciting stuff, dude. Like, I think
Didn't they do like a little clip of Spit Out the Bone?
They teased Spit Out the Bone. They teased Eye of the Beholder.
Oh, shit.
They teased Here Comes Revenge, which they haven't debuted. And I think they played Injustice for All. I mean, like, some pretty exciting
Man.
Stuff, dude.
I mean, any Metallica fan, especially on the new record, can say they want Spit Out the Bone.
Oh, it'll spit
sometime
out,
soon.
Yeah, it's Spit Out the Bone, I would say, just based on what I've read in the forums and on Reddit, seems to be the number one song that people are excited about seeing.
Yeah. Hey, can't blame them, man. It's a kick-ass song. And, I mean, the first time I even listened through the new record last November when I got it, when I got to that song, I was like, God, this needs to be played live.
If they can. That's what I thought.
If they can.
If they can
You know,
pull it
I was
off.
Listening to, it, and like, and that's the thing. It's not their fastest song. I mean, they've played Dyer's Eve live in recent years.
Yeah.
I mean, they can do it. It's just a matter of, you know, just, you know, hitting the grind and rehearsing it a bunch.
I think that's all it is. I mean, shit. I mean, I think Disposable Heroes and Fight Fire with Fire give it a run for its money. Even Hardwired, I think, might even be, as far as BPM, faster.
Yeah, maybe.
I haven't sat down with a metronome and clicked it all out. I'll be honest with you.
I think between Dyer's Eve and like Damage Inc. I mean, it's not their fastest, but a lot of technicalities in the song, and I think it would just take, you know, it would take a good amount of hacking away at it for them to knock it out.
So check this out. I noticed this kind of looking at the dates. I kind of finally just looked at all the dates because I know when we were planning on going to Atlanta, and then that kind of fell through, and then we kind of had to find a show we could both go to. And I remember my wife and I going through them then, but I looked at them last night. They're only playing on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
Crazy.
It's like three shows a week.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, for those listening that don't understand like what goes into a tour, especially a stadium tour.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play 5 days a week. You know, even 4 days a week, week would be tough. I mean, it's a huge setup. Anyone that's been following them on social media will have seen like the whole build they're doing in Baltimore, or they have been doing the last few days. It's a big undertaking, man. And it's like, and the only way to do more shows in a week is if you had an identical rig to what they're setting up, a whole nother crew and
they
all
do,
that stuff.
They do have that. They have two stages.
Do they have two stages?
So the Philly show is like being set up right now.
Okay. But there's all, you know, it's still a huge undertaking.
Absolutely.
Obviously. And, you know, and there's, I'm sure there's certain people on their crew that, you know, have to stay at this one because it's showtime, you know, and then they go in for a day or two to the Philly one that's already being set up, add things to it. There's probably certain things that aren't duplicated that they have to bring in every time too.
And here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing the band's going home every day. Every off day, they're probably flying home. Don't you think?
I mean, if they're off, maybe not every off day, but if they're off Monday and Tuesday, maybe so.
Yeah. You mean,
I know their whole deal is like, you know, they like to go home every 2 weeks.
Do you think they're just like hanging out in the city, whatever city they're in for the day? I'm sure all their families come out with them. You know?
Yeah, probably. Or at least as much as they can. I mean, their kids are probably in school. I don't know if they homeschool or things like
that.
But surely their kids, you know, some of their kids are in school. But yeah, I mean, all that to say, it doesn't surprise me that there's so few shows a week. You know, they can't do what they did, you know, in 1989. Plus, they're older too. You have to accept the fact that you know, you can't keep up the way you did when you were 30 years old or 25 years old or whatever.
Right. And the economic aspect of a stadium tour, the whole point of it is to maximize markets without playing as many shows. Because people are traveling. Yeah. So, you know, there's just not a lot of pressure to cram a lot of those in.
Exactly.
I've got my fucking metal fingers crossed that they come back to the States. I mean, I know we have a lot of friends in a lot of different parts of the world. I know our Australian friends want to see them and our New Zealand friends, but I'm really hoping they come back for an arena tour like next fall or something.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I could see them doing a second leg in the U.S. or hitting maybe somewhat smaller markets like hitting, of course, Nashville. And doing arenas, that would be really cool. Although I wouldn't complain about seeing them at, you know, Nissan Stadium in Nashville either.
Yeah, but I just feel like we're going to go see them, which we're like kind of 99% officially going to go to the Detroit show. Is that correct?
Detroit, yeah.
So for those of you listening who are going to that show, definitely reach out to us. We're going to be doing some fun stuff for that show. So we're definitely going to see the stadium run, but I feel like if they did arenas next year, I'd be able to go to two or three of them.
It'd be a lot easier. It's also cheaper to an arena show than a stadium show.
And I just feel like here it comes, pound for pound. I don't know what other phrase to fucking use, but I feel like it's a better show. I mean, it's just unless you're up close at a stadium, you're basically just watching it on TV.
Yeah, a stadium, you're right. If you're up close at a stadium show, like last summer I saw Guns N' Roses in Nashville at the stadium, and I was like maybe 10 rows behind the pit. And so I was definitely close enough where it didn't feel like a stadium show.
Right.
But it was still a big monstrosity of a stage and like, you know, it was very surreal, but it didn't feel like a stadium because I was on the floor really close.
But for most of the people, it's like watching a really loud television performance because you're just watching the screens.
Yeah. Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, even if someone handed me a ticket, you know, day of and said, hey, these are nosebleeds, I would still go see it, of course.
Oh, of course, for sure.
Now, I'd be fine to watch that little TV.
Now, here's something that's new for them that I think is really, really exciting. Like, I've never been a big bootleg collector of Metallica. I have other bands that I've gone down that black hole with. But I have gone and grabbed, because, you know, you can get almost any of their shows, like a soundboard show. And I have gone back and grabbed, this will be no surprise to some of our listeners, I've gone and grabbed some Load Reload era live shows. But it usually doesn't sound great because it's like a straight board mix. So every show on this tour, the same team, not Greg himself, but like his team of engineers that mixed Hardwired are mixing every live show.
That's rad.
What? Isn't that amazing?
That's really cool. I mean, it's about time. I mean, it's about time that they do that and have it actually sound really good.
I agree.
Pearl Jam has done that for years, and they used to do it where it was like you could practically walk out of the show with a CD or something. But I know now, because a buddy of mine is their stage manager, that they actually send, you know, they record everything in the Pro Tools, every show, and they send it back to Seattle to an engineer who then mixes it, and they release it about a week later.
It's a, I mean, it's a lot of work, and I guess there's overhead involved, but...
It, sure.
But once it's mixed, it's all just digital. I think you just buy the MP3s, but if you have just, like, consistently good quality of these shows, it's, I think it's going to make sense financially, because people are going to buy them if the quality's good. I mean, shit, I know I'm going to. If they have any surprises on this tour, like, if they really do bust out... Friggin' Spit Out the Bone or Injustice for All, even, I'm gonna buy that show for sure.
Of course, yeah. If and, it's, you know,
because what's the show that they're putting out? What's the show they're putting out on vinyl now? The
Beacon Theater.
Yeah, like if these shows sound that good and the set list has got a cool little left turn in it, I mean, I'm gonna buy it.
At the very least, I'm gonna buy the Detroit show that we go to.
Oh hell yeah, dude! Hell yeah!
Because we'll for sure be able to hear our voices in the crowd.
Of course, it's only 50,000 people.
Do you hear that? That's me and Clint right there.
What if we did a live show during the concert and just all you hear is just a band in the background?
Yeah. Here we are!
That would be one of the most exhausting shows to listen to.
It definitely would.
So here's the deal. We're going to do our fantasy set list, which is pretty fun. I had a pretty good time making it.
And yeah, same here.
And again, to stress, like, it was really actually fun putting the boundary on of, like, let's come up with something that's pretty realistic, right?
Realistic, and you know, you have to consider, like, you know, fan-friendly stuff. You have to consider, you know, you can maybe throw in a deep cut or two. But let's be honest, if you made a set list of all deep cuts that was just catered to you and nobody else, like, the 50,000 Metallica fans at a stadium show would be like, this is cool, but, you know, I still want to hear Master of Puppets or whatever, you know?
Well, and my humble opinion is that despite the fact that they're still active and still relevant, they just made a new record that goes toe-to-toe with some of their classics. Despite all of that, whether you like it or not, they're a legacy band, and they've crossed over. Like, for example... Inner Sandman and Nothing Else Matters are not on my fucking list, because as monstrous and amazing as those songs are, I don't have to ever, ever, ever hear them again.
I'm with you. Now, my list is also not contain those.
Now, having said that, I totally understand why they play it. They end almost every show with those two songs.
Of course. And so, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, those, that's like, you know, Kiss has to play Detroit Rock City. You know?
Kiss's version is... one of my least favorite Kiss songs of all time, Rock and Roll All Night, Party Every Day.
Yeah,
they're never going to not play it, and I get it.
Yeah. I'll tell you a couple things that my set list does not consist of, and those are Doodles.
No Doodles on mine either. Or what about Noodles, though?
Yeah. Neither.
No Noodles?
I don't want any of that. I don't want any of it.
Well, man, I don't want to turn this into a Kirk slack. I really don't, but
it's not a Kirk slack. I don't want to hear Trujillo either. I'm not knocking him as a bass player. I just I don't know. But every time I see that stuff online, I'm kind of like, it's cool, and I'll probably go crazy for it when we're at the show. But, you know, in making my set list, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do one where they're not just goofing around. I'd rather almost hear little interludes going into other songs.
Absolutely.
That are like on tracks or something.
Absolutely. And what I was going to say is, like, the footage I have seen of Kirk's doodles, of just basically him banging the guitar around, rubbing his fucking butt on the guitar. Like, come on, dude. I mean, if James needs, like, a vocal break, play Orion or something, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, okay. Should we burn these down?
Yeah, let's burn these down. Why don't you start? And also, by the way, Clint and I have not talked about this prior to, other than that we're going to make it. We don't know what's on each other's lists.
The only information we know now is in real time that you've just received is that Inner Sandman and Nothing Else Matters and Doodles are not on our lists.
Yes.
All right. So, by the way, I'm drinking red wine, boxed red wine with ice in it.
I am drinking a Sky Vodka with a Zevia Ginger Ale that I pulled off the bus this morning when I got to the hotel.
You're keeping it Metal Up Your Podcast classy, but have you noticed that anytime I drink alone, I just drink the worst shit?
I normally do. Like, when we have, like, days off and I forget to grab something from the bus, I'll, like, go to a liquor store and I'll just look around for, like, just whatever's the cheapest. Like, oh, that's $6 and that is enough for 3 days. I have no shame in that.
Dude, when I'm on tour, especially if I'm in Ohio, I rock those Four Locos, which it's nice. it looks like Ecto Cooler color, but it's like $2 and it's 14% alcohol.
Jeez, they're probably so good for you too.
They used to kill people when they had caffeine in them. They had to take the caffeine out because it was literally killing people.
Yeah, now you just might end up in the hospital. That's it.
Okay, so in keeping with the fact that the list is realistic, they're celebrating their new record, I have them opening up with Hardwired.
Okay, nice.
Because it's a good opener. They do they have the intro that's the track, you know?
Yeah.
Da, 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 and then they get up on their instruments. It's cool. It's exciting. Yeah. And it's kind of like...
Oh, very, very so.
That's what they did with all their records when they usually do the opening track on that tour. But
yeah.
Following that up with a little blast from the past called Creeping Death.
Ooh, nice.
Into Moth Into Flame, which I think holds up with Creeping Death.
Agreed.
And then a 1-2 punch from Hardwired after Moth Into Flame, Now That We're Dead.
Nice.
I love Now That We're Dead. Now, here's what I will... Here's the
it's amazing.
Since we are like sort of the little lower G gods of this set list, we have power over them. You could take out the whole drum line thing. I could do without the 15-minute everyone bangs on the fucking drum.
And they're like electronic drums too.
And look, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that they're doing this kind of different thing. I it's part of what I love about these guys. However, on my list, it's got to go. Followed up with, we're going to bring it down just a little bit. We're going to get a little eerie with Harvester of Sorrow.
Nice choice.
I feel like that would be killer right after Now That We're Dead. Then we're going to go into, then James speaks and he does this whole, you want heavy, Metallica gives you heavy, Sabbath True.
That's a good, there you go.
Sabbath True, which some people say that they're kind of sick of that one. Not me. If I'm seeing Metallica live, if they want to play Sabbath True 10 times in a row, I'm going to be fucking headbanging the whole time.
Who wants to hear Sabbath True for the sixth time in a row?
Me.
Are you alive?
There's this one guy in the crowd and it's me. I'm like, me. I do.
Do it again, James.
Do it again, buddy. This time, mate, do
just
it.
Just one more time.
This time, do it heavy. unfortunately, this comes with the dreaded crab walk, but then we go into For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Okay.
Which is pretty much the only time Rob crab walks. It's like he's distilled his decades of crab walk into this 1 4-minute monster song.
At least he's harnessed the crab walk into one track.
It couldn't disappear entirely. It's got to go somewhere. So I get it.
I would like to see it go maybe like from the walk to the stage, back to backstage.
From the bus to the venue.
Yeah. Maybe when they show up to the venue, he crab walks to the dressing room. And then like James is like, look, listen, dude, we got to get rid of it. No more on stage. You're welcome to crab walk backstage all you want.
Dude, when we're in catering, you're welcome to crab walk all the way from the artisan cheese tray to the...
You can crab walk to the meet and greets too.
Okay. After For Whom the Bell Tolls, we're going to get back on the Hardwired flavor, Halo on Fire.
Nice.
Because as far as I'm concerned on the Hardwired tour, that might be the one I got to hear from the new record more than any.
Yeah, I really hope that they play that when we see them.
It's kind of like the Harvester of Sorrow of Hardwired. Some people may disagree with that. All right, now, we've had enough fun and games. Up next, it's no motherfucking joke, it's Disposable Heroes.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Now, this would be one of my, let's see, if I'm looking at my list now. I have three deep cuts in my list. I consider this one of them.
Yeah.
So this is the sort of treat they give to the family, right? But someone who's there for Enter Sandman has never heard the song, is super freaked out by it. It's very long and fast. They may be peeing or getting a beer. That's fine. They can get out. While they're in line to get their beer or to pee, they hear the intro to Fade to Black. And then they just go ahead and pee their pants and run straight back to their seat.
Or pinch it off and just start running.
Whatever they have to do, they're hearing the intro to Fade to Black and they're running back to their seats.
Yeah, exactly.
And this marks the first kind of big ballad of the show for me. Then we burn that whole epic monster song down. Then we got Dream No More.
Nice.
Which, you know, I love that song. We love that song. It's kind of it's kind of the sad but true mid-tempo swagger stuff. Then, my second deep cut of the night, throwing a little love to old Death Magnetic, All Nightmare Long.
You know what? I almost had that one in my set list. I was really torn.
It's a deep cut. It's a deep cut. And the chances of them doing it on this tour are extremely low. But it's on my fantasy list. From All Nightmare Long into another lost but not forgotten gem, Through the Never.
Ooh, yeah. Not played often. I just the other night on the bus watched when they played the Black Album backwards to front.
I haven't seen that yet. From one of the European shows.
Yeah, they were doing some anniversary shows, and they showed like a little short, like maybe 5-minute intro video of just kind of that era,
mm-hmm.
and it was the anniversary of it, and so they played it, but they played it starting from the last track and ending with Enter Sandman.
So killer.
So play the record in reverse, and when they played through the Never, it was like, it was really bitching. Yeah. I was like, damn, why don't they play this anymore?
I mean, I know. I don't have internet at our house currently. I would look up the stats on that real quick, but they don't do it enough, but here's the deal. They got so many fucking awesome songs. I get it.
I know.
Now, we're wrapping up the show here. Through the Never is kind of the last little nugget for OG fans.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's not even OG fans, because that song probably bummed a lot of OG fans out. But for people who know what Through the Never is. So then, sort of fake encore. It's not an actual encore, but they leave the stage, lights go out, and you hear the intro music to Blackened. Backward cool. guitar stuff. They play Blackened. We're into some classic stuff right now. They burn Blackened down immediately. They play Master of Puppets.
So a tease. They burn down Blackened as in they play the whole song.
Right. As soon as after Blackened, no one says a word, you just get that count off from Lars, and then they play Puppets. And it's a
rad.
In my mind's eye, it's a blistering rendition, bringing all 50,000 people at the show to tears, myself included. You're sobbing somewhere. And
oh yeah,
they trash.
Someone you can't find me. Ethan's gone.
Look, where's Ethan? Oh, he's crying into that garbage can.
A security guard just holding me up in tears.
You're like piggybacking on some big roadie's shoulders. He's just carrying you out. they trash can the end. Good night. Good night. Thank you, everyone. Blah blah blah. They leave. Everyone is going so crazy. That if Metallica doesn't come back out and do an encore, we're just going to start Montreal-style rioting.
Oh, yeah.
They come back out. Lights are low. Encore number one. You hear the intro to The Day That Never Comes.
Ooh.
Bah, 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 bah. Right? They play The Day That Never Comes with its blistering, thrashy end. Then to carry on the thrash, everyone's just in a frenzy, right? Then we burn down Whiplash. No bells, no whistles, just Thrash City, homage to Seek and Destroy. Now, this is going to upset people. I know it. It might even upset you.
Okay.
The last song Metallica plays on my fantasy set list, because have you noticed there's no load or reload love on my list?
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for it.
The last song they play is The Memory Remains.
Ooh, as a closer.
And then when they close, the whole show ends with all 50,000 people singing the Marianne Faithful hook.
Da 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 da
da da da.
Gosh, that would be. I think as a like you saying that as the last song, you're kind of like, well, I don't know if I like that as the ending song. However,
you got to envision it.
If you're one of the 50,000 people in that stadium, and everybody is singing that Marianne Faithful melody, that's almost like a church service at that point.
Absolutely. Everyone walks out in arms, holding each other. You're still crying.
In tears. I'm still crying, yeah.
And then we all go to the bar and talk about what a fucking awesome set list Clint just made.
If I can compose myself enough to drive to the bar.
If you can get it
wipe
together.
Wipe the tears away. If only I can get it together. Well, so dude,
there,
that's a,
there it is.
That's a solid set, man. That's really solid. I would see that show.
All right, cool. What do you got?
Okay, so I feel like I'm being safe, and you mentioned a couple, you know, of their go-tos that I don't have on my list, but I don't want to preface it too much. So, obviously, their normal intro music starts. I didn't start with a Hardwired song. I know they're promoting the record, but I wanted, not that they need an attention getter, mm-hmm. but I wanted something out of the gate where all 50,000 people are like, holy fuck. So intro music ends, and then all of a sudden, Dire's Eve track one, or first song of the set just fucking annihilate people.
Oh my god! Opening with Dire's Eve.
Opening with Dire's Eve. Just wow. I mean, right out of the gate, just I mean, full bore. I mean, there's freaking circle pits everywhere, and you know, you're in.
Yeah, there would be a circle pit in my underwear.
There would, but then going straight into Hardwire, then you go right to Atlas Rise.
Okay. Nice.
So we're doing Atlas Rise. We're on the current album cycle. Atlas Rise is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're gonna go right back into old school and hit him with Ride the Lightning.
No. Yes. Hell yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
So yeah. So Ride the Lightning, and then I'm and then go one more.
Oh
record.
Wait, I just
Whoa,
sang
cool.
I just sang the hook to Seek and Destroy. I meant I sang the wrong hook. I sang the hook to Seek and Destroy. Whatever, crucify
that's okay,
me.
That's okay.
I bring it. Well, so Atlas into Ride the Lightning.
Atlas Rise, Ride the Lightning, and then from there, kick it even more old school, just for one. And this is my only Kill 'Em All song, and it's one of their classics, Four Horsemen.
Yeah, you love that tune.
I love that tune. And I mean, especially I love the breakdown in the middle. It kind of gets a little bit slow. With that section of the song in mind, I went with The Memory Remains next as my fifth song on the set.
Hell yeah. Which is more realistic that they'd put it up towards that end. They're not going to close The Memory Remains ever.
But I like the visual of your list and them closing with that. I love.
All right.
But so here's where I kind of like I kind of take it down a notch in the set. You know, you're starting at a peak, and now we're coming down in the valley here to kind of, you know, maybe this is where some tears start flowing a little bit. So mm-hmm. Memory Remains. You could kind of that get teeters in ballad territory, I think. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Halo on Fire.
Great.
And then Halo on Fire. Okay, so Halo on Fire ends, right? Stage kind of goes black. And everyone's like, "Oh God, that was so good! I love hearing that song live." We're a little misty eyed. We're not in tears yet.
Mm-hmm.
Until we hear the piano intro to Unforgiven 3.
Oh boy, nice!
This is my excuse me. I think this is my first deep cut of the set list,
dude.
But Unforgiven 3, you hear that piano, and it's like, and then all of a sudden those strings come in, and then it's like, oh, tears start to flow.
Could you imagine how freaking stoked we would be if we heard that intro and knew that that song was coming?
Oh my gosh! Because
they've only played it like six times.
I would look. I said this to Clint. You won't hear this on the episode because it's edited out. But as Clint was talking about trying to look for a fact, I was trying to look for a fact, and I've got so many things open on my computer for this podcast, like notes, Skype with Clint, Logic, and I went to open Safari, and then Logic was like, fuck you, too much things happening, so we had to start over again. But yeah, I'm not going to bother looking up any other facts because I don't have to stop this thing again. But okay, so Unforgiven 3 ends. And
yeah,
then,
I feel like after Unforgiven 3, we need like a brief intermission to all recover and change pants.
Well, I wouldn't call it an intermission, but this is where we kind of ramp it back up for a little bit. At least, and this song is definitely like that exactly. It's the track four classic ballad into heavy is Fade to Black.
Nice.
So I was really into the having this four song section: Memory Remains, Halo and Fire, Unforgiven 3, Fade to Black. But then Fade to Black ramps up at the end, obviously.
Yep.
And then we go from that into my first Black Album track, which is Wherever I May Roam.
Cool.
Again, did not do Enter Sandman or Nothing Else Matters, but I thought Wherever I May Roam. It's where they're on the road. This is a road song.
Yep.
And then after that, this could be, I would say, more of like the, to me, this would be kind of like the, you're taking a piss, you're getting a beer, and all of a sudden you hear the intro to this, and you're like, holy shit, they're playing this? Another deep cut, and maybe this will settle all the shit I get for every episode, The Outlaw Torn.
Yes.
Because I think that chorus, I think Hetfield's melody on that chorus would sound so rad in a stadium and everyone's singing it. Those long notes on the words, The Outlaw Torn, I think it'd be so cool.
And plus he's singing so good these days. Like his voice yeah. sounds so great. I mean, dude, I share the excitement that I know most of our listeners feel imagining them busting that shit out on this tour.
I know, man. I know.
I don't know if you've reached redemption, though. I don't know if that's your... I don't know.
that's not ever going to happen. We know this. So then I also chose the same Death Magnetic track, The Day That Never Comes.
Great.
And then my next deep cut, I was a little torn on this one because they don't play it hardly ever. I think they've played it like maybe three times. To Live Is to Die.
Mm, yes. So an instrumental.
Or I think, I wanted to put one instrumental in there. Orion obviously has been played a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Cthulhu has as well. And I obviously wasn't going to do Suicide and Redemption. But To Live Is to Die, I think, you know, actually, was it only one time? Didn't they debut it at the 30th anniversary shows?
Well, they on the Black Album tour, they teased it. Like, they did kind of like an instrumental
a
doodle.
Medley.
Yeah. Well, they did the like guitar-many kind of mellow section. Remember, like it's like Black Album where they're all sitting on the risers and shit.
Right, right. They do part of Orion and stuff.
But I think To Live Is to Die on the 30th anniversary shows is like the full-on debut.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to hear it again, because that song just, I mean.
Oh, dude, it's my favorite.
As an instrumental, I mean, I would love to hear that.
It's my favorite instrumental.
And then from there, we're going to start to bring it back up to the close of the set before the encore. We got Dream No More next.
Wonderful.
And then we go into two classics to end the set before the encore, which is Sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have them closing the first part of the set with One.
Wow. So you've got Fade to Black, Sanitarium, One, and The Day That Never Comes in your set.
I've got like the track four ballad into.
I wonder if Ethan likes the track four ballad songs that they do.
Maybe. It's just, man, I mean, I don't know. It's a great formula and it works.
We're just missing The Unforgiven from you.
Well, yeah, it's true. I almost put that in there, but I decided to go with Unforgiven 3 because I'd love to hear that live.
It's a better choice for live because it's so rare and cool.
Yeah. Totally. So, but I like the idea of ending the initial set with One, and the very end, and then, like, you know, pyro goes off, crowd goes wild, stage goes black, and you're waiting around for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and then this is where I get really stoked. This is maybe where I end up in the security guard's arms in tears. No lights come up yet. Maybe one light from behind silhouetting one of the members, and then all of a sudden you hear doo 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 doo. My Friend of Misery,
nice
coming back in the encore with that.
That's
I've
killer.
Got a three song encore. I think that would be rad. And when they've played that live, like you should watch that playing the Black Album in reverse, because when they do that song, you know the part right before the B bender bridge.
The swell thing.
The swells. Hetfield gets the crowd to do that.
And he
it's a really cool moment.
And he gets them to do it in like harmonies or something.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I've seen the clip of that. Yeah.
And that would be so cool with 25,000 people on this side doing one part and 25,000 people on this side doing one part.
What a fucking awesome song that never gets played live anymore.
I know. And I thought that would be a great one to come back into the encore with. And then the last two I got, this is the one that everyone wants from the new record, Spit Out the Bone.
Yeah.
They just go right into that and just blow people's minds, and then ending with Master of Puppets.
Great. That's great.
Which I don't think they really end with Master of Puppets hardly ever.
No.
That's usually kind of towards the top.
But it's such a great song to end with because there's so much crowd participation.
Exactly.
You know, the crowd sings that almost that entire chorus, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that would be a good ending to have the crowd singing that chorus, and then you've got the whole outro and James Hetfield laughing at the end of the song. Big trash can ending.
Love it.
So yeah, that's
great.
That's my list. I gotta be honest, it felt weird to not include a couple of like I didn't include Creeping Death. I didn't include For Whom the Bell Tolls. That felt really almost wrong for a minute.
But you had Fade to Black and you had Ride the Lightning on your list.
I've got Ride the Lightning there. I mean, I've got Wherever I May Roam.
You were missing Blackened. Like you're only you open up with Dire's Eve. So you got
Dire's Eve and To Live Is to Die, yeah. And One.
So you got a lot of justice represented.
Yeah. Did one song from Kill 'Em All, two from Ride the Lightning. It's a little tough to make this kind of list. I mean, you guys listening at home or in your car or wherever you're at, I mean, make a dream list. We did 18 songs because that's kind of about average what they do.
It's what they did in Mexico City. That's what I based it on. Hey, Ethan, how come there were no St. Anger songs on your list?
Well, you know, I hit it. My 19th was probably going to be It's Sweet Amber, but that's actually a lie. And, it, you know,
I went back. I listened to St. Anger the other day.
Really? How'd that go?
Oh, you know, every time I pop it in, I'm really hoping to be surprised. And there was no new revelation. And in fact, there was a new revelation. The song My World is one of the worst songs ever put down on tape.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's my world, and you can't have it.
At some point, we have to start warming up to the fact that we are going to do a St. Anger episode.
That's why I've been doing it. Well, I've been in such a huge phase, especially Death Magnetic got me so stoked that I've just been craving Metallica. And it's like, that's just this record I don't know much about. So it's like, scratch that itch. It's like, it feels like new Metallica because it's so foreign to me.
Right.
But it's the same old...
I think if you need that itch...
It's the same old bummer it's always been.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you really need that itch scratch, just put on like Garage Days or Garage Inc.
That's true.
Something, you know, because those are great, obviously.
I'm going to be honest with you, though, man. The Garage Inc.'s not one of my favorites. I'd rather hear their tunes.
Sure. I mean, it's all covers. I mean, I get it. You know, it was almost like a compilation. They went in and recorded that whole first disc, and then the other back half was like stuff they did during the original Garage Days revisited and other other covers. But I still dig it. I mean, I like disc two better, but we'll get into that on a Garage Inc. episode.
All right. Well, that was it. We are super, super stoked for this tour. For those of you going to Baltimore tonight and those of you going the next few weeks, we're excited. If you want to write in and share some of your Worldwired experiences with us,
please do.
We're going to be talking about the tour the next few months, obviously, and we're going to be going to that Detroit show. So hit us up about Detroit, because we're going to do an episode from the parking lot. We're going to we're making it a road trip. We're driving to Detroit from Nashville.
Yeah. And I've got some ideas. I haven't even shared with Clint yet about what I think we should do to put out even more episodes just on that one trip. So
nice.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, guys. And please email us at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com with your dream set list. If you're going to the show, if you've gone to the show, please email us and give us your review. How was it? You know, we're excited to hear from you. So, and as always, find us on social media, Instagram, Metal Up Your Podcast, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. You want to support us financially, patreon.com/metalupyourpodcast. And that's about it.
All right. That was fun.
Adios.
Peace.
You were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.